we do it like we do it.
It's Thursday, so you know what that means? It's PCP Pop. Welcome to it.
Woo!
It's just Stacey and Nate today. Unfortunately, Jordan couldn't join us, but we are here.
Who needs him? Nobody.
Well, I don't know.
We need him.
We'll probably get some strongly worded letters, but all right.
It's true. Whatever.
We couldn't help it. You know, he just happened to like fall into the basement, and the basement happened to like lock the door, and you know, we just kind of happened to lose the key, you know. So it's like...
Or he might be in the trunk of Faye Resnick's car. Hard to say. It's hard to say.
I mean, you know, there's sometimes, you know, the morally corrupt can come after you. So
the morally corrupt coming after the pretty corrupt. It's circle of life.
Right. Oh, man. Well, we'll get into Disney later on. So, but I say let's just go ahead and let's just dive right into it. I think we should start this episode off with some Kardashian-Jenner gossip.
It's been a while. We've checked in with Kanye over the more recently, but not so much with Kim and the rest of the Kardashian clan. Let's see where to even start. It's weird that over the last week or so, Kim has been popping. So Kanye's been doing these. They're not concerts. He's not performing. They're called listening parties, but they're at like full arenas. In San Francisco, he was having trouble finding spots in the U.S. Actually, he could, because nobody wanted to, well, nobody wanted him. So he was able to do a show at the United Center in Chicago, because his hometown. But now he's doing, and he was doing them all over Europe, like during the fashion weeks. But now he's doing them here. He did one at the Chase Center in San Francisco, you know, big arena, and then he performed at Rolling Loud in L.A. last weekend. The music festival, the hip hop music festival.
Oh.
But the thing is he's not performing. And the people at Rolling Loud were super pissed, like the fans, because he didn't perform. He plays his music and dances on stage. Like that's all he does.
So he's a DJ. DJ now?
Except he's not DJing. Somebody else is playing the music. He and like Ty Dolla $ign and North, because North, this is the reason why Kim is showing up to these. But yeah, so the fans were pissed because they thought, oh, we're getting a Kanye performance. No, you got Kanye popping in a CD while he's dancing on stage.
What? I wish people would pay me to do that.
I saw Kanye at Coachella in 2006. So he was just starting to get big. And all he did on stage was this, but he was not playing his own music. I remember very vividly he was playing 80s songs and dancing to 80s songs on stage. We were like, I was standing in the audience being like, why is he playing A-ha's Take on Me and dancing to it? He's not even performing.
So let's get this straight. Since the beginning, Kanye's been a scam.
I think you could make that argument. Again,
live performance-wise, quote-unquote live performance-wise, he seems to have been a scam.
He does that a lot. Like his whole Life of Pablo tour, the one where he had the nervous breakdown halfway through. That was always weird performances. I don't know if you remember that floating platform he would be on the whole time where he didn't really it. I mean, outside of Coachella where he didn't do anything, I've never really seen him live otherwise. But Kim's so he did these two shows and Kim has been in both, which you have to assume is because of North, because North is performing. But the weird thing is that both shows, Kim and Bianca Censari, his doll bride, have been standing together, which is just odd to me. Like, it's one thing for Kim to be there supporting her daughter. Sure. She's certainly not supporting Kanye, but she's supporting her daughter. But it's just weird that those two, especially since Kim used to be his doll, except Kim was much more high profile, but you know that he dresses them the same way. It's so weird.
Well, what's funny though too, is like, remember how he then came down on Kim so hard for her dressing. He didn't want her sexy. You know, that was what was crazy, is that he wanted her sexy. Then once she was a mother, he didn't want her sexy. And now he has Bianca dressing in practically nothing.
Literally nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But I can see Kim standing next to Bianca. A, because like you don't want to have, she likes to play nice in the press in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But that's also because she's a Libra sun and she's a Pisces moon. So it's like she wants to, like, she needs that balance. She's going to show a balanced side. She's also going to show a gentle side. Now, she is a Sagittarius rising, though. And I know all of these things because it stands out to me because she and I have the same top three, but just in a different order. And then we both have the same middle name, which is ironic. I figure, like, Kim Kardashian and I, much to my chagrin, would either be the best of friends or the worst of enemies. Like,
why not both? That meme of the little girl, why not both?
That's true. Why not both? But yeah, but I think she's standing there because I think she probably feels something. She probably just is like, girl, you're going to find out eventually. That's probably her thing.
Like, maybe, yeah, because... they're just bizarre. Like, I mean, he's got Bianca wearing literally nothing. She was walking around Europe with just a sheer bodysuit, nothing under it, no underwear. She was walking with her purse clutching her crotch because nothing. She was wearing nothing. It's insane. And like, I think we mentioned it briefly last time that her family is extremely upset. Her father said that he will beat the shit out of Kanye if he sees him.
Because also look at it, like Kanye's completely covered up, like something, even his entire face. Like,
even, yeah, his new thing was, well, he, for a while he was doing those all black face masks, weird thing. But now his new thing is wearing a Jason mask from the Friday 13th mm-hmm. Jason mask. And he has those black. Yeah, he could not be more covered while she is uncovered. And mm-hmm. it's just weird. And yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't get the feeling that she's doing it for herself. I'm all for like, wear whatever the fuck you want to wear. Like, I don't have to necessarily agree with it, but if you feel empowered and you want to wear it, great. I don't feel like she feels empowered and that she necessarily wants to wear it.
I'm curious. So I still think it's funny. Julia Fox, remember mm-hmm. that name. She wrote a memoir, which I think is odd because, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'm sure she's had an interesting life, but I had never heard of her up until the Kanye thing.
Yeah.
So, but maybe maybe she's had an interesting life. So I'm just being ignorant.
Uncut Jams.
Uncut Jams. Oh, that's right. She probably has entire chapters about Uncut Jams. She said in her book, she said, oh, it was all for show. There was never a relationship. I was his quote unquote muse. I was his mannequin. And she said, I hated it. And they were only together for like 2 months. He's been with Bianca for at least a year.
Yeah.
Maybe more. And I've never heard her speak. She's Australian. Never heard her speak. It's just. So there's that. So they're getting along. And also in the Kardashian world, we have Lord Dizik, who I know you've watched the Kardashian show, the Hulu show. I have not since we did that original. I watched the premiere. It's already on like season 4 or something like that. They do a lot. But Scott Disick kind of popped up. I guess he was kind of people didn't see him for a while, and he popped up last week in L.A. going to Catch L.A. Great restaurant, by the way, with some friends. And woof, he is he's looking gaunt,
G-A-W-T, like gaunt.
He always had that Christian Bale look to him, which I'm sure he totally leans in on. Because there's a Christian, you know, I think a similarity. Yeah. But now he looks like Christian Bale in The Machinist, that movie where Christian Bale lost like 90 pounds. This could have gone two ways. First thought immediately, as Jordan will tell you, Ozempic. That's the first thought. But with his drug alcohol problems, it could go the other way. It could also be a bit darker. Because on the show, he addresses it about the car accident that a lot of people forget. Now, I guess if you don't watch the show, but I forgot how bad that car accident was in 2022. He rolled his Lamborghini SUV, just like the Urus,
he didn't even roll it. He flipped it. It literally flipped like nose over tail
nose. If you saw the after the fact photos, it was on its side, I think, or might've been completely upside down, but it was not upright.
Completely upside down.
And the crazy thing, alcohol was never involved. They think it was just him speeding and being careless. Mm-hmm. He's in Calabasas. He walked away and people thought no injuries because he had minor scrapes. But it turns out he jacked up his back really badly. And so over the last few years, he's gained a lot of weight, considerable amount of weight. Like if you saw him on the Kardashians and on the show, they address it. He goes to his doctor with Khloe because he and Khloe are still close and talks about how he hates how much he looks. What was the term he used? He says he's decreased sexual prowess was his word, which I imagine for him is quite important. And then, yeah, now he pops up looking super gaunt. He has just sunken face. And now his friends have come out and said it's Ozempic. They have said it's not drug. Like they're saying it's not drugs, alcohol, it's Ozempic. Mm-hmm. But they're saying he's now addicted to Ozempic. Okay. So I guess if you have an addicted personality, that can happen. Yeah. So like the sunken eyes, if you see the photos where it looks like somebody on a bender, I could see how that could also be Ozempic because of they call it Ozempic face. Your face shrinks or your head shrinks. I know this problem just from losing weight normally is your head shrinks, but the skin stays the same. Mm-hmm. So your face, you know, it's always when celebrities, John Goodman, I remember, Jonah Hill, every time he loses weight, mm-hmm. you look older. Like I remember when Jonah Hill lost all the weight, he looked 15 years older. It just because the loose skin in your face. But I don't think I've ever heard of somebody addicted to Ozempic. They're trying to get him to stop, which mm-hmm. I think he probably needs to because.
Well, he's addicted to the feeling of being skinny. Of just yeah. like I don't have to work as hard. It's easier. I mean, it's especially if you have an injury like that. It's harder to work out, and then it's easier. You know, it's you know although. I always say this, a lot of people say this and I just attach myself to it. You're not ugly. You're just poor. Like, you know, he's got enough money. Like he could have a personal chef. He could have meals delivered to him, like all these types of things. But it also makes your back feel better if you're carrying less weight and things like that. But yeah. still, like it just, but like you said, it's an addictive personality. So if it's easier to get to that weight, then it's just easier.
An image is so much to him. Mm-hmm. Not just him being photographed out and about with his Sophia Richie, you know, 19-year-old girlfriends. Mm-hmm. But his like everything is image to him. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram. I do because I every so often I forget I do. It's all his car collection. It's photos of his. It's all shots of his like 10 cars. Where exactly is his money coming from? I never watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians enough to know where his wealth comes from because he couldn't be making that much from the show. I guess he could have been getting it from Courtney, except when they got together, Courtney was not terribly wealthy.
No.
You know, and to this day, I'm not sure how Courtney, compared to her sisters, you know, compared to Kylie and Kim, she's not like that wealthy. So I've never known. I'm like, did he come from money? I just don't know enough about him, I guess.
I don't either.
And frankly, I don't care enough. But I was alarmed to see these photos of like, I mean, he looked bad. But at the same time, I guess it's the lesser of two evils because I guess better to be skinny from Ozempic than skinny from drugs, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like it just in terms of overall health. But yeah, so that happened.
I mean, we are Ozempic positive here, so, you know.
Well, Jordan certainly is. I don't think I need it. So as much as we joke about the, you know, we want money for Ozempic, I probably will abstain. I don't think any of us need it, to be honest, but don't let Jordan hear that. No. But hey, but we still want a sponsorship from whatever that parent, I can't remember what the parent company is.
Yeah. You know, and I will take a few vials of it just to have on hand, you know, just in case I need it for a quick, you know, fix of like, I need to get thin for something.
That's what
you know?
Oprah, that's what nice Oprah said have. She did. She took it in the beginning because she noticed she gained a lot of weight over Thanksgiving and she took it to lose weight for the holidays. And she said it within a week or two, noticeable difference. So as dangerous as that is, it can be a, for lack of a better term, like a get rich quick scheme. Because it works that fast. But I've never heard of addiction. But if you have an addictive personality like Scott Disick, maybe you can get addicted.
There you go.
I don't know.
Wow. Well, actually, speaking of addictive personalities, Lamar Odom has teamed up apparently with Caitlyn Jenner to start a podcast.
They are doing a podcast together called Keeping Up with Sports. See that little clever play on Keeping Up? But they are trying to keep it sports-centric. It has not. It has not begun yet. But their opening episode was with Sugar Ray Leonard, the boxer Sugar Ray Leonard. But the guests they've got coming up are Amber Rose, which that could get saucy because of the Kanye connection. Bryce Hall, the former TikToker, now boxer. And a few other ones I can't recall, but they're set. They've made a point of saying we're sticking to sports. They're doing that, cliched stick to sports. We're not going to get into the family stuff, but you're bringing on Kanye's ex, who's not an athlete, by the way. And then I got to wonder, people are just curious. Well, first off, people are of the mind that maybe Chris is behind this because wherever there's money to be made, you'll find Kris Jenner. But at the same time, she's so, what am I thinking? What is the word when you're not close to somebody anymore? Not exiled. I can't, when you don't talk to a family member anymore. I'm drawing a blank on what that word is.
Well, I can't think of it either. Yeah, not detached and not.
No, I think it's, I'll think of it like estranged. That's it. Thank you. I knew it was an E word. So Chris, I don't know where her standing with Lamar is. Like Chloe is, from my understanding, is friendly with Lamar because whenever he's had his health struggles, she's always been there to help. Mm-hmm. But she's the same way with Tristan. Chloe just seems like a genuinely good person.
Yeah.
So I don't know Chris's relationship with Lamar, but I know for a fact she does not speak to Caitlin. They don't even have no relationship, none. So her being behind this might not be the case. But if then at the same time, if she's not behind it, she might be terrified of this because she might be like, what? I can't control what they're going to say. And they know where some of the bodies are buried. So if they decide to change course from a sports podcast to we're just going to talk shit about our ex family, then it could get saucy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see Chris lending a helping hand to Lamar Odom to start a podcast. Like if he was like, I'm trying to get back on my feet. Like I've got this, like, could you put me in touch? And then to find out later that, it was going to be with Chris, with Caitlin. And then maybe even Lamar didn't even kind of realize, do you know what I mean? Not that I don't think like Lamar necessarily has machinations and stuff like that. And I don't think he's dumb, but I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed. I think he's just, again, I think he's also a sweet man. I think he's a sweet man who just, kind of is like,
And he's dedicated his life now. He buys these old buildings, old rundown. They might be former like rehab facilities, or they might not even be. And he's turning them into rehab facilities. Yeah. And they're not like the high end, like Promises. They're like for regular people on a certain budget. And he's been doing this. And he also seems like a good person that just had issues. Yeah. I don't know enough about, I can't speak for Caitlin because I don't know what kind of person she is, I know that more recently it seems like maybe not so great. But it's interesting that they have no relationship at all I think Caitlin is still somewhat close to the Kylie. I can't speak for Kendall, and she was close to Kim for a little bit, but I don't know if that's even the case.
I feel like that bridge has been burned with the older girls. I don't know.
There were the issues with the sons as well, with Brandon and Brody and so I don't know the family dynamic because they're not on television anymore, because they're that part of the family is not on the Hulu show, so I don't really, I don't keep up with them anymore, as they would say. So we'll see. I'm curious. I mean, I'll probably listen to like maybe one episode, and then I'll be this isn't worth it. But it could get interesting if they pivot. It could get interesting.
Yeah, it definitely could. You put up something that I hadn't heard of that I thought was really interesting. Completely non-Kardashian. We're gonna move away from the Kardashians now. But I was like, you have to tell everybody about this.
Speaking of familial relationships, Elizabeth Hurley, who I love, by the way, I've always loved.
She's great.
She and Hugh Grant, it didn't end on the best. Although they actually stayed together for a while after that, strangely mm-hmm. enough. They didn't like, so she is, doesn't act a lot, I don't think. Not like she used to. But she is in a new movie called Strictly Confidential that is written, directed by her son, Damien, who is himself only 21 years old. So he's written and directed this very hard R rated movie with multiple sex scenes starring his mother. Evidently, there were a few like lesbian sex scenes as well involving
his mother.
And people are a little uncomfortable with it. Elizabeth herself has said she found it. She said this is such a weird quote. It's so liberating to work with your family.
What?
Yeah, probably, but not in this case. And then it gets even weirder where Elizabeth Hurley, when she's questioned about this, she says, well, he's always taken photos of me. He takes all the bikini photos I post. So, and then the son's quote about that was, she takes my photos, I take her photos. This is a very weird mother-son relationship. But they don't seem to have a problem with it. She says it's liberating. He says, oh, that's Hollywood. This is just normal in Hollywood. It's not really. The only comp I can think of is, remember the Stephanie Seymour. Was it Stephanie Seymour that has the super awkward relationship with her son? Like, that's the only comp I could even think of. It's weird.
And ironically, both of their sons are fathered by like billionaire men.
Yeah.
Too. Hold on. You said something and I just, you're like, that's not how Hollywood works. I was like, no, but you know, he is getting the big taste of how Hollywood works, and that like the complete nepo baby treatment.
That's true. Like, you don't see many 21-year-olds writing and directing movies. Although, to be honest, this might be one of those straight to whatever. We don't do straight to video anymore because everything's straight to video. But, you know, it's one of those. They listed a release date later this year. And I'm like, this is not going anywhere. This is not going to theaters, I don't believe. But, and they even, so TMZ got on, do you remember the show Couples Therapy? It used to be on Showtime.
I loved that show. Oh my God, so much.
One of the doctors from that, Dr. Jen Mann, who's more, her specialty is more with families. TMZ got her on to address it, and she thinks it's incredibly dangerous and bizarre. And her advice to them was, you guys need to go to therapy. So even a therapist is like, this is, guys, this is weird. But the sex scene, the fact that she made a point of saying that he takes all her bikini photos anyway is like, that's somehow even weirder to me.
Yeah.
It's just everybody, you know, to each their own, but that's a strange familial relationship.
I mean, I honestly don't think any child should be doing that, whether it was, you know, a female or male child, you know, straight or gay or bisexual, or do you know what I mean? I think there's just a line. There is that you know, parent child line there that I don't think that there should be crossed in that sense. And I think that's crossing it, period. Like, get your second unit director to do that.
I mean,
tell your second unit director what you want to happen and let them do that and have another coach or something like that. But
Want a case of, oh, that's Hollywood, exes starring in things together, exes directing each other. Mm-hmm. That seems less awkward to me, even though many of them have said, oh yeah, it's uncomfortable to be directed by my ex, but we powered through it.
Yeah.
But this one just, yeah, it's, but also I don't know what we can't say what it was like to grow up with a parent who was that sexualized, you know, the parent of a model, True. The parent of, you know, somebody like Elizabeth Hurley, like even in all of her movies, she was sexualized, whether it was Austin Powers, whether it was Bedazzled, like that was the whole, her whole mystique, her whole thing. So maybe he grew up with that. So it's not as weird. And maybe the same with Stephanie Seymour's son, because your mom was a super, I don't know. That's maybe the only thing I can think of where you're not made to be uncomfortable like that.
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, but then you've got also just some of the completely unrelated, but I saw that Bradley Cooper recently did that interview where he talks about how he basically, with his kids, they just all walk around naked in their house. And he has a loft in New York, one of those open space lofts where there are really no doors. And he says he'll just be sitting on the toilet doing his thing while talking to his daughter, so people have weird relationships. And I don't know if that's a Hollywood thing or just specific to those people, but it's just odd. It's just all very odd. Yeah. So
I don't want to talk about them anymore.
I don't either.
Can we talk about other Brits? Actually, let's take a moment and then we'll go to other Brits.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Speaking of other Brits, we'd be remiss to not speak about this week's updates of the Kate Middleton saga, because it's the story that keeps on giving, I guess.
I mean, it is a gift that keeps on giving. Like, it's insane.
It's the story gets weirder and weirder since last we spoke about it last week, because in that time, a video was released that purports to show Kate, but people have questions. It's Kate and William walking. There's video and pictures and stills of them walking near Windsor where they live. I believe it's called the Windsor Market that they were in. It's grainy, which I don't understand why every video and picture we've seen of that they've released of Kate, William, whatever, they're all grainy. I don't understand. I've never seen paparazzi shots that grainy. I don't really understand.
Because they're so far away.
Is that it?
Because they're so far away. And even with these telephoto lenses and even with these better sensors, there's only still so much that you can get. Like, I think you have to like really realize like these people are so far away and they're using these huge lenses and they're trying to capture as much as they can. But they are not, they're not across the street. These people are at least, these people could be a football field away from them and they're getting this picture.
But the interesting thing about this one being in the car photos, you know, a lot of them have been in cars and you kind of know when a royal's coming in a car because there's a bit of a procession more kind of. Mm-hmm. But this is them out and about and there were no other photos or videos from you can clearly see in this video of them walking along the outside the market. There are other people around. There's a family. It looks like a family behind them at a picnic table. There were people in the store. Nobody is taking photos of them. Nobody. That we have not gotten a single thing from somebody on a phone. You look at those photos and videos, the people aren't even paying attention. And I've in the background. One person said that they were in the store and they just noticed a woman next to them and they looked up and they were like, oh my God, it's Kate Middleton. But they didn't do anything. You know, they didn't whip out their camera. They didn't do anything. Which some people have said, yeah, they live in Windsor. They're from, you know, the people around the area are familiar with them. It's not unusual for them to see William and, you know, the future king walking around. But even then, it's unusual now. It's like now you'd be startled to see her. Yeah, maybe that was the case a year or two ago. You'd be like, oh, it's Kate Middleton. We see her all the time.
Six months ago.
Yeah, now it's a thing, which just shocked me that nobody, because you would, honestly, you'd think people are hanging out in Windsor trying to see them. So you'd think somebody is there to, that they their whole goal is to get a photo. And there are none. There have been none. And then, of course, because the conspiracy, I've fallen down. My God, I've fallen down some rabbit holes. Because my whole For You tab on Twitter, which is like the default when you sign in or when you open it, and I don't realize I'm on the For You until I'm scrolled down quite a bit and I realize these aren't people I follow. Somehow the algorithms made it all Kate conspiracy theories for me. So I've seen everything. And the ones about this, the ones that people are trying to poke holes in were, This actually makes it people think maybe it is her, is how thin she was. She was noticeably thinner. But the thing about, which obviously makes sense for somebody who had surgery, but the thing about that is the photo they released of her in the car from like 2 weeks ago, not thinner. So one of these is not real because that is not the same person 2 weeks apart. People have said maybe this new video is old video because there's garland and lights up on the front of the store from like Christmas time, except somebody went there like yesterday and said, no, the garland lights are still there. So this could be new. Other people were questioning the height disparity because if you look at older videos of Kate and William next to each other, she is like her eye line is almost basically like at his chin. She's about that much shorter than him when they're both wearing flats. But now in this new video, she's taller. Like her eye line is closer to like his nose. But that also could be a forced perspective thing where you can't really tell who's in front of the other. And she's very much standing straight up in this video. Whereas in older photos, you can kind of see her a little bit, like every comparison photo, she's been a little bit crouched. Other people have brought up the fact that, that this must be fake because she's walking side by side with him and Kate doesn't do that. Like royal protocol is that she's supposed to walk a step behind. That's voluntary royal protocol. She doesn't have to follow it if she doesn't want to, but traditionally she has. So that's a thing. They're like, well, maybe it must be a body double because she's walking alongside. That's to me is a little ridiculous. But people are also saying she's clearly walking fast and, you know, she looks like she has like a normal gait. People are saying, well, if she's in this good of health, why haven't they done anything sooner? Like if she can physically walk this fast, she's not in a hospital bed is what people are saying.
Yeah.
But again, this is so cruel that we're just picking apart every little thing about her.
I mean, yeah, like honestly, as somebody like, as two people who have had chronic physical pain and physical ailments, like, you know how one day can be like really good and you feel like really good. And then the next day it's crippling. And you're just like, oh my gosh. And I think a lot of other people who have like, you know, autoimmune diseases or other like, you know, chronic pain or like something, or when you are recovering from surgery, you'll have a day and you're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I can do everything. I can't believe this. And then you overexert yourself and then you're down for like 3 or 4 days and you can't do anything. So that could be it there too. Like an abdominal surgery can be a lot. We still don't know what it is.
No.
If it's laparoscopic, it's not as bad. But if you are cutting into somebody, like, look, any woman who's had a C-section has had abdominal surgery. Like that's major surgery. They literally cut into your muscles and like cut into everything. So like, I don't know. I personally like, I kind of enjoy the conspiracy theories because they're entertaining, but I still maintain my leave her alone. Just leave her alone.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I wish I should have let off with this is that I want, you know, she seems like a genuinely lovely person. I'm not outside of people who are just anti-royal in general.
She could be a piece of crap and well, I don't
okay.
care
no,
because
that's true.
Like,
no,
if you're, she's if British you're, and I don't give a shit, but I'm just like,
I actually should have that. Maybe that's not correct because I know the stories of her and Meghan and I'm not taking a side there because that is a third rail I'm not getting on.
Yeah.
But genuinely beloved might not, you know, I don't know. I don't know her well enough.
She seems beloved by most of the English public.
She seems it. Yes. Certainly by Piers Morgan. That's for sure. Because
yes,
all things Meghan, he is anti. One of the more interesting things also is that TMZ had her on. Evidently, there's a business, a booming business in England for Kate lookalikes. Which is not, I mean, not just a passing like, oh, you know, has anyone ever told you you look like Kate? These are people who make a living off of being Kate lookalikes. And TMZ had one on. Her name's Heidi Agin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. But she is known as basically the most popular Kate Middleton lookalike in England. She does, like, she'll do it for a living. She says every time a royal wedding, a royal pregnancy, any of those, she gets hired for things as a Kate Middleton look, not necessarily hired by her fam, like people who are hiring her for other things. She had to go on the record and say, guys, this isn't me. I swear that's not me. But the fact that they had to get a professional Kate lookalike to say it's not her is something.
So wait a minute. In the UK, they hire real people to play real princesses at parties. Whereas here in the US, we hire real people to play fake princesses.
Yeah, Disney
like
princesses.
Disney princesses at real parties.
But if we had real princesses, we probably would do that too.
Oh, we totally. I mean, look, because also besides Disney princesses, people hire, you know, celebrity impersonators. You know, they hire Charlie Chaplin, they hire Marilyn Monroe, they hire,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hell, look at Hollywood Boulevard. There's a living to be made if you look like a celebrity.
Those are really sad ones, though. Well, like the Spider-Man.
Some of them are super sad, but some of them are better than others. So yeah, so this professional is basically saying, guys, not me. But then the
check the other 500.
Yeah, check the other Kate lookalikes, but it's not me. And then today, where it really got interesting, is a guy named Christopher Boozy. He is a tech CEO in New York. He is very close with Harry and Meghan. He was in their documentary, so he's very close to them. He came out and said that he doesn't think it's Kate. He thinks it's a stunt double. Which now inner circle people are starting to say it. Which, I mean, obviously his view, I mean, we know what team he's on, he didn't need to say this. And his reasoning for it was, among other things, he said that she's walking too fast for somebody who just had abdominal surgery, which again, like you said, no two cases the same. So we can't just say just because one person's healing faster than another. So that's an odd thing, but I just found it interesting that a close friend of Harry and Meghan's decided to jump in.
I'm not surprised that one did. But
no, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it hasn't happened faster.
Right.
I will say this before we leave the topic is that I have fallen down a number of conspiracy theories, but I found the one that I think is far and away the most insane. People seem to believe, and this is what it is. And I don't want to laugh about it because it is horrible what this theory is. But the theory is that Kate and William got into some sort of argument, possibly about extramarital affairs. Cause there's rumors about both of them. The rumors about him have gone back farther with Rose. I can't think of her last name. Then now there are rumors about her because after all this happened, but the rumor is they got in some sort of fight, and in a physical fight, this is a conspiracy theory. I am not saying this is true. This could not be more alleged. This person is saying that, William killed Kate in a fight. So she is gone. But now, because of this, Charles is forcing William out of the line of succession because of the scandal involved. But because, again, this is all part of theory, because George is too young to rule, because part of this theory is also that Charles is at the end, which a lot of people have been saying Charles's health must be very bad. Not must be, but might be. So that this theory is that George is too young, so Charles cannot name George the king yet. So he's going to make Harry the regent in the meantime. This story is so insane on so many levels. And they're saying that is the reason why Harry, when Charles announced his cancer, Harry came in for one day. I don't know if people remember that. He flew in and then flew out in the same day, and people are like, well, that's odd. And this theory says that part of this theory is that he came in to discuss the regency and then fled and then left.
Oh my God. People have way too much time on their hands.
That's the craziest one I've heard. And I can't say it's funny because it's horrifying. Murdering, you know, there's murder involved, but that's how far down people have fallen, and that is where my for you tab on Twitter currently exists.
Oof. Well, we gotta get that. We gotta get you off of that thing. Yeah.
Well, being honest, we gotta get me off of Twitter.
We're gonna move you over to Threads.
It's too much. So that's where we stand. So we'll check in next week.
Easter's in 2 weeks. We're going to see her then.
That's
true. She will have risen by then. Come on. She will risen.
It's, I mean, okay. This has been the ball's been dropped on like, it's a PR nightmare for the royal family, and everything they do is making it worse. So, okay. So, yeah.
Well, you talked about a succession. Let's talk about a different type of succession as well. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to keep this quick because also I don't, but bringing it back to Hollywood, let's bring it back over the pond. Let's bring it back to LA. So this has been going on for months. Actually, it's been going on a little over a year, but it kind of died out and then it came back. Speaking of, he has risen. Mm. So there is a succession type of a board of directors struggle going on at Disney, within Disney. There is a fight in between Disney CEO Bob Iger and the board, and some board members, specifically one of the board members, Peltz.
Oh, Nelson Peltz. Yeah.
Nelson Peltz. Thank you. I wanted to say Nicola Peltz, but that's the wrong one.
Well, that's
Beckham's wife.
Yeah,
Brooklyn Beckham's wife.
Well, isn't Nelson Peltz the father? Or no? Different Peltz? Yeah, I think it's.
It's the same family.
Because Nelson Peltz is a hedge fund manager, very wealthy, and he owns his company. His hedge fund's called Triand Partners. And they're all involved in this. Yeah, they're essentially attempting a hostile takeover of Disney.
They are. And they have been attempting it. They attempted it last year on Disney and it didn't work. And it was like a soft hostile takeover. It's just a soft hostile takeover. And then they wanted to see changes in Disney because the share price was dropping. And of course, because, you know, a business is only doing well as its share price is doing. Of course, the American economy is only doing as well as its share price is doing, which is a load of bullshit. So like, people are always like worried about stuff like that. And I'm like, hey. Yes. I like to point out the fact that, you know, a lot of people, there's about almost 160 million Americans like own stock in the stock market. And that's amazing. That's like 61% of like Americans. However, the top 10%, like 93% of the stocks in America are owned by the top 10% wealthiest. And actually the top 1% owns 54% of the stocks, like 19. So basically all the regular people in the US, like your 401k, your IRA, that's only 0.6% of the US population. Like, so when we're talking about stock, it really is just like rich people gambling and playing with money. Like, that's what the stock market is. It's rich people gambling. But let's bring it back to Disney, because basically Nelson Peltz wants to try to take over two board member seats so that they can kick out Bob Iger and take it over and try to make it more profitable and try to like up the share price. And today or yesterday, George Lucas came out to support Bob Iger and say, hey, I own a lot of shares of this company because I got a ton of shares when Disney bought Lucasfilms, and I support Bob Iger. I supported him coming back in. He appreciates creativity. What I see with Triand Partners coming in is them trying to make this a business, like a regular, like you can't treat a creative company like a hedge fund. And Bob is trying to streamline things to get you guys your share price. Mm-hmm. Granted, he is kind of like denigrating a lot of the creativity in anyway.
The layoffs have been massive, especially at some of ESPN and some of the little like subsidiaries. Yeah. So he's done things that have had minor impression, you know. I guess the stock price is up 27% over the year, but it's not high enough for them. But two of the things
that's the problem. It's not high enough for
it's
them.
It's never high enough. It's never high enough. Mm-mm. Yeah, like you said, you cannot run some of these things the way. And two of the things that Nelson Peltz and Triumph Partners want to do they want to kind of downsize Hulu, because you know Disney's made a very big push to upsize Hulu over the last few years, introducing live TV, live sports, all this stuff. These new guys want to downsize it, but they also have made a point of saying they want to improve guest experience at the Disney theme parks. And I was like, If you've ever been to a Disney theme park, I don't know how you could improve the guest experience.
You know, actually, you know how you can improve the guest experience at Disney theme park? Reduce the fucking prices. Yeah,
I was going to say that's not good for business.
My friend tried to go there kind of before she has her second baby with her and her wife, and they have their first child who's a little over one. And I was already thinking, I was like, please don't take a one-year-old to Disneyland. But she was like, we're just going to go take her, enjoy the day, kind of take our time, and also like get a hotel room for the night. She was like, it was going to be over $2,000. They live here in Los Angeles. They live here in Los Angeles, two adults, one, not even a toddler. And then spending a night at the Disneyland hotel or like a hotel nearby. She was like, that's ridiculous. She was like, we could go to Chicago for the weekend and spend as much money. Like, we could go to Boston, like all of us, for the amount of money that they were. And she's like, that's not including the food we were going to spend, all the other stuff we were going to have to do, like all of that. She was like, no, absolutely not. She's like, I'm not going to do that. So yeah, like improving the guest experience, bullshit. So it's interesting because sometimes when we talk, I mean, we're not talking politics, but, you know, when people do talk politics, especially like the last few election cycles, people are like, you know, it's choosing the lesser of two evils. I go, this is choosing the lesser of two evils, in my opinion, because no matter what, like Disney has been like, everything's being merged into one. And Bob Iger and Disney have been doing it one way for quite a few years. I mean, I didn't really even like them buying up Lucasfilms and everything. You know, you're just consolidating all that power. But if Trian Partners comes in and really does a number, I mean, they're really going to mess it all up even worse. I mean, I would rather it stay with Bob Iger than go over to a hedge fund.
Yeah.
But it is very Succession. Like, if you've watched Succession, if you watch that border, it's kind of similar to that. Probably not as dramatic in the moment.
If you want a true Succession parallel, what if Nelson Peltz gets in charge? Then, so in this situation, in this comparison, Nicola Peltz?
I don't know. She honestly won't care.
And honestly, we could be completely off. It's a different Peltz, but I'm pretty sure that's the
father. I'm pretty sure too. Yeah. Because his wife was super young, like a lot younger than him.
Yeah. So in this analogy, she's Shiv.
Yes.
Which that makes Brooklyn Tom.
Tom.
What if Tom gets put in charge at the end? Tom. What if Brooklyn Beckham is the head of Disney within the year? If it happens, you heard it here first.
Brooklyn Beckham is Tom Wamscan. I mean, they're both British. So, and, I mean, Tom wasn't British, but, you know, Matthew McFadyen's British. So, like, there we go. We can make it work.
And Brooklyn's been very open, and the whole family has, over the last several years, about him trying to find his way. Like, he doesn't know what to do with his life. He tried to be a soccer player, wasn't good enough. Tried to be a model. I mean, he was modeling, but not, like, a big-time model. He tried to get into cooking. Like, he still makes his IG videos where he's cooking, and he gets dragged a lot for it because some of the stuff he makes just looks terrible. But so he was trying to get into the chef thing. What if his next move is CEO of Disney? That would be a jump. Yeah.
I love this. Okay. Yeah. I am for this. Mm-hmm. I am for this because that'll just take the stock price down so far. Oh, but yeah. I also believe that like Brooklyn Beckham would just then open it up to be like, let's try anything. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw this shit in here. Let's try it. I would be like, oh, Disney would be just like a creative haven for people. Oh, it'd be amazing.
Oh my God.
Maybe the Disney Channel would rock.
Then at Disneyland, you know how they have all the different lands for like Tomorrowland, Adventureland. No, Spice Land. Spice World. Call the whole thing Spice World, and it's all Spice Girls relate. Okay, now we need Brooklyn to be in charge. Okay, now we're cooking. Now we're cooking with gas.
Yes. All right. Oh, they need. See now. Now they real. Okay, Nicola, Brooklyn, and your first job will be to hire us because look at the creativity that comes between the safer Stacy like connection right here. Oh, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Our last item on the docket. This show, we're going to talk about Quiet on the Set. which is a docuseries that was on Max / Discovery ID, I believe. I only watch it on Max, HBO Max, but Max. Yeah. I didn't actually even hear about it until I saw one of our loyal followers, Moira Webb, was posting about it on Twitter, or X, but it's Twitter. And I was like, wait a minute, what is this? Because we have been talking about Dan Schneider almost since the beginning of PCP. Like, we have talked about him because we've also talked about Amanda Bynes. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Orlando Brown. Yeah. We've talked a lot about, you know, the dark side of kids Hollywood, Disney, basically. I mean,
yeah, Nickelodeon.
Yeah, Disney, yeah. Nickelodeon, all of this stuff. And so, you know, this entire docuseries, 4-part docuseries, is a takedown, finally the takedown of Dan Schneider. Mm-hmm. Mostly the takedown of Dan Schneider, but what was revealing to me, because you actually, really all three of us, but mostly you and I, mostly you and I were a little too old for these shows.
Well,
Jordan was on the cusp of like a little, like he could have been watching them a little bit because he's about 10 years younger than us. But these were, I didn't want, I knew of them, but I was already in my 20s.
Yeah, no, I like, as much as I became a huge Amanda Bynes stan from like her movies. Mm-hmm.
It's her movies.
Yeah, like Sydney White and all of those. She's the Man and What a Girl Wants. I think What a Girl Wants was the first time I'd ever seen her. Yeah, I did not. I remember all that. I remember the Amanda show, but I never watched them.
Yeah.
All those shows. Drake and Bell is a huge focus. I knew of it, but never watched it. I'd seen clips and things. So yeah, so it is a little bit younger than us.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I'd heard of iCarly, I'd heard of The Amanda Show, I'd heard of Drake and Josh and like all that stuff. But, and then I'd had a roommate who was a stand-in on Zoe 101. So that's how I knew about that show. She worked on that show. And so I also knew that I'd heard that was a stressful set to work on.
Yeah.
Granted, that was also, she was a stressful roommate to live with too. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt, but at the same time, like, yeah. I have to say, like, they put trigger warnings basically at the beginning of it. It is a trigger warning. I mean, the entire series is about emotional abuse, verbal abuse. There's also talk about sexual abuse. I mean, basically they talk about, if you haven't heard about this guy, Brian Peck, he was a dialogue coach for these kids who turned out to be a prolific pedophile.
Yeah.
And he and Drake Bell came out on camera as a victim of his, and a victim who put him away in jail for only 16 months.
He pled out. Brian Peck pled no contest to performing lewd acts with a 14 or 15 year old and oral copulation with a minor under 16. Now it turns out, forced copy, excuse me. So Drake Bell is the one that we know for sure that is, because he's gone into great detail, but obviously there were many, we can only assume, but yes, many, many more. You said he went to prison for 16 months, and the most jarring to me is that Disney hired him right back.
Yeah.
After he got out
Disney
of prison.
Disney hired him.
Yeah.
Disney hired him.
He be
for the
after,
Sweet Life of Zach
sweet,
and Cody.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Which is, I mean, the Dan Schneider stuff. We heard, I mean, Nickelodeon at one point got rid of Dan Schneider because of the heat from the stories. But then they brought him back. The thing is, and I don't know, so I should have prefaced this by saying I have not watched the series yet. I just know enough about it. So I don't know if there are certain things that are or not addressed, and that's probably, I should not be talking about it as much as I am for somebody that's not seen it, but, I know for a fact that part of the Dan Schneider was enabled for the entire time because his best friend is Brian Robbins, who was the president of Nickelodeon.
That's actually one thing they did not talk about on the series. And I was shocked. I was like, why are we not talking about Brian Robbins?
Yeah.
Like, why are we not talking about that? There was a little bit of a mention of Brian Robbins in the beginning, how they were a team at the beginning. But Dan was kind of like, Brian was the executive producer. Dan was the producer. But they don't talk about how Brian worked his way up to being the president of Nickelodeon.
Well, now Brian is the president of Paramount. Like, he's worked his way all the way up. And Brian Robbins, if that name sounds, you know, like he's produced and directed other things over the years that like things I love. Hell,
they met, him and Dan Schneider met both as actors on the show Head of the Class. That's how I remember them originally.
I remember too. They were always Eric, and I don't remember what Dan Schneider's name was. Yeah, I think we mentioned this the first time we talked about Dan Schneider, is that he is in one of my all-time favorite movies, Better Off Dead. And it's hard to watch him in that as much as I love that movie. But yeah, so essentially Dan Schneider always had the backing of the president of the company. Mm-hmm. So he got away with a lot more. And he came out yesterday as a reaction to this series. Dan Schneider like did an apology, not apology, where mm-hmm. he kind of deflected the blame, saying that he wasn't responsible for the sexualization of these kids, like on camera, like the scripts and the jokes, because he talked about how everything had to be cleared by standards and practices. All the boards, the East Coast, West Coast boards of Nickelodeon. He said it was not my call to okay these. So he's deflecting the blame there, but he did admit that he did have inappropriate behavior, because one of the famous stories over the years was how he would request neck massages mm-hmm. from some of the stars, from these kids. Mm-hmm. And he admitted that. He said, that was wrong of me. What a weird thing to apologize for. I should not have asked child stars to give me neck massages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in the
show, it's like not only child stars, but also female employees, like costume designers, set dressers, other female set workers, things like that too. So it's not just the stars. Like there's, and in fact, like finally, like a costumer, finally, when more stories came out publicly, she went to her union finally. And the union was like, you're not the only one who's saying this now. But mm-hmm. it did, but it literally took her years, because she was like, you don't walk the boat. You don't tell yeah. people, you don't want to lose your job. You don't want to like literally... They really talk about the power structure, about how Dan Schneider had so much power that a child actor or even a writer, like there's two female writers, they practically never worked again after getting fired from his job or from quitting. And one of them actually filed these two female writers after getting fired / quitting, they filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against him and against the show. And they and the one who filed it originally was like, I basically knew I needed to make it. She settled. They can't tell how much she settled. She's like, I had to make it worth my while because I knew I would never work again. Yeah, and she didn't. But to think about, she and this other girl were the only female writers hired for the Amanda Show. The Amanda Show, a show starring a girl, and they only hired two female writers, and they made them split their salary.
Yeah.
That's illegal. It's illegal, period. And it's also against WGA rules. And so then the next season, one of them gets let go and only one of them is kept. But then they hire, but then she gets even less money. And then they hire another male writer who's never written on the show before at a full salary for 27 weeks. And she gets only hired for 16 weeks at her salary, but she has to work 27 weeks. Like that's gender discrimination right there. That's like the textbook. I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot in it. I would say like it was tough for me to watch at times. Like I sat there with like my tissue box, and it's one of those things where I love Hollywood and I hate Hollywood at the same time. Like these last two stories, I hate to say, like, are just the stories of the shit of Hollywood. You know what I mean? Of like people being shitty, of it only being about money and power and, you know, treating people poorly. I also find though, like, look, I met you here in Hollywood. I met Jordan. I've met a lot of people. Like I've had a lot of great experiences. Like I haven't gotten where I wanted to in my career, probably because I didn't play these power games, and that's what sucks. Because I have an issue with it. at times like I can only play it for so long and then I just kind of like burst and I'm like, I can't do this. This goes against my entire nature. But, you know, this it's, I think though, it's what's really, the Drake Bell story was really disheartening, especially because actually his father saw it coming and this Brian Peck worked, he had worked his way so deeply into the Dan Schneider set. He was able to split his father away from his mother and like was able to basically tear Drake Bell's family apart. Now, granted, his parents were already divorced, but he was really able to tear that family apart. And that's what predators do. Yeah. They tear families apart. And it's so sad. It's just so sad. And then to like know that like he's been through a lot of stuff. And that's a reaction, sadly, to like trauma, to all that childhood trauma that he had to go through. So like, ugh, you know, which he takes responsibility for now. And we can only hope that he will continue to and get better. You know, now that he's been able to publicly come out about this, hopefully there's a lot of healing that comes from this. So that. I'm sorry to end this like episode on a downer note, but but I do think it's something that's being talked about this week a lot. I mean, it came up on my Twitter and I was like, oh, whoa, like I hadn't heard about this. And then I just got absorbed into it. And a lot of people are talking about it. And I think it's important to talk about it. I think that's one of those things where we're talking about how can like we be more aware of the more people who put their voice to power, like, you know, who stand up against power. It can't just be one person. We all have to do, nobody's coming to save us. So we have to like all like get together and do this together. And the more we say, this isn't okay. We won't watch shows. We won't give you money. We won't do this. Like, I think that's really important, you know, no matter who you are.
It's so sad that we make such a point of whenever a child star apparently does not have any issues and has a great career, that we always are just shocked by that. We're like, oh my God, they made it through the child star thing. And, you know, for every Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, you know, just doing, I'm just thinking Goonies, for instance, like you've got a Sean Astin who, as far as I know, you know, is just made it straight through. And a lot of child stars have, but for whatever reason, we always say like, oh man, I can't believe they're, it should be the other way around. It should be the horror stories should be shocking, not the success stories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Let's normalize being a child star and growing up normal, like being okay. Let's not normalize like, oh, that something terrible should be happening to child stars. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like that's the normal. Yeah. That's what's sad. Debbie Downer. fucking A, Stacey. Yeah. What are you doing? Well, let's finish this off. Poor Jordan can be with us, but send him a get well card and you know, he'll be out of the hospital soon from his lap band procedure. So at the same time, don't forget to rate, follow, subscribe, review Pretty Corrupt Podcast, because he's got to pay for that lap band and I need to pay for my my Ozempic backlog. What is that? I need an emergency stash of Ozempic. Mm-hmm. And what do you need an emergency stash of?
For a rainy day?
Yeah.
It's a great question. I an emergency stash of money would always be great. So
that's true too. Yeah, actually, yeah. We'll just take cash. For rainy, so you know,
rainy day money. Yeah,
maybe we just need a Cash App to put on PCP's like Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Just give us some cash. Yeah. Donate us some cash.
We'll send you the Venmo name. Okay.
Exactly. Speaking of which, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. We are there always sharing stuff. And you can also follow us individually at Jordan Ross Myers, at Nate Safer, and at Real Stacey Connor anytime. Feel free to DM us. Also, quick little post cap note, we don't accept any bullying or harassment, and if you bully or harass any of the stars of PCP, we will block you. So thanks so much and have a great pop culture day. Cause no one can do it like we do it.